also is self-existent. He is immutable, meaning he is unchanging. He is infinity. He continues on. And he is eternity. He is forever. Communicable attributes: love and wisdom and benevolence and holiness and justice and compassion and truth can be found in man because of the grace of God. These are things that make us like him. These are things that make people see God in us if they are manifest in our life. God shapes us into what he wants us to be. And he wants us to be like his son in Romans 8, 28 and 29. God's personality. He has intellect and sensibility. And he has a will. And God's will is what is good for us and right for us. If we violate God's will, it won't be good for us, the results of what takes place. Our God knows all things, past, present, and future. He has the power to do all things. We are limited many times. We think of something and we plan to do it. And then it gets done. And then we look back and it's all wrong. I remember the natives who didn't have enough food. They ate little small fish that lived in a little river that ran through their village. And they could catch a number of those little fish. And somebody got the bright idea, let's stock bigger fish in their river. So they stocked bigger fish in the river. And the bigger fish ate all the minnows. And then they started having a horrible outbreak of mosquitoes because it was the little fish that were eating all the larvae of the mosquitoes and keeping them in check. So somebody with good intentions stocked it with bigger fish, but that ended up spreading disease through the village and much difficulty in dealing with. You ever tried to sleep with a mosquito? Vietnam has the largest mosquitoes I've ever seen. They sound like motors. You cover over with a camouflage blanket, part of our tools. You didn't want it because it was already too hot, but you had to hide from the mosquitoes. And you could hear them trying to bore through that nylon. I don't know how you sleep with that sound. The joke was that the mosquitoes were talking and said, "Do you want to eat him here or take him home?" And they said, "Let's eat him here. If we take him home, the big ones will get him." That seemed like it could have been true. We plan a lot of things without knowing what's going to happen, how it's going to affect other things. But that never happens with God. God knows the end from the beginning through foreknowledge that we do not have. God has a plan. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Second Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." So part of that principle that we reap what we sow. Israel sowed to the flesh, they reap from the flesh. They sowed in trying to be like other nations, and it came back to haunt them. Job wrote in chapter 23, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, shall come forth as gold." In Proverbs 3, And verse 19, right after the Psalms, Proverbs 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. God knew all we would have need of. He made our atmosphere, the cycle of weather. Sometimes we get storms and they scare us and we realize how dependent we are upon God. But normally these things have a reason. They have a purpose. They play a part in the earth. Snow puts nitrogen back into the soil. Rain runs into the creeks and the rivers and into the ocean, and it dries up from the ocean because of the salt that God put in it. Otherwise, it would become stagnant, and life within it would die. Do you know there are certain fish that can live in salt water or fresh water? I like to eat striped bass. Striped bass in the ocean get 50, 60 pounds, that wide, that long. In our lakes, Santee has two big lakes, 150,000 acres altogether. And it was there they found out that stripers would live in fresh water. When they built the dam, they thought those stripers would die. They tried to make a little channel where they could run around the dam and go back into the river where they could lay their eggs. And no fish died. Fishermen started reporting they were catching these stripers. And they were huge. And on top of that, they taste good. You fillet them, and in the center there'll be a red mark. That red is blood. And you have to slice that red out. If you don't, it'll taste like liver. Throw that out, and you got a beautiful white fillet. And you put some of my fat boy's fish batter on that and deep fry it. Man, that's as good a tasting fish as you can find. God made those striped bass. They can live in fresh water or salt water. They swim up the rivers to lay their eggs, and they can live fine in the fresh water while they're there. Then they go back to the ocean where they came from. God designed all that. God said, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them, in Ezekiel 11 and verse number 5. God knows what we have need of before we ask him. Our God is love, and because of that, all of God's functioning of his attributes have love as a motivation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word perish means to die. It means to be dissolved, to go away. Perish, P-E-R-I-S-H. That's not my last name. My last name is Parish with an A. I get missionaries come and visit, and they go back to their field, and they write to Pastor Parrish, P-E-R-I-S-H. It's okay. I know what's right. God is love. God is spirit, John 4:24. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. God is the unfailing source of these things that he is. He is light. He is spirit. He is love. Constitutional attributes. Omnipresence. He can go anywhere at all times. You go somewhere, God's there. Psalm 139. And I want to read quite a bit of that. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. God is sovereign. As the Creator, He assigned all things to their proper place. People live here and there. Animals live here and there. God assigned all those things. The highest peace and destiny to those who know the will of God and are subject to it, He rules in the affairs of men. When we know that, we believe that, we practice that, we're at peace that God's on the throne and He's in charge. The redeemed have been purchased by the blood of Christ. He seeks us to worship Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is God that has lifted the poor and set them in high places. It is God who brings down kings and moves nations because of their sin. In Acts 15:18, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. He said in Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, I'm God and there is none else. There is no one like me. God has a purpose that is divine for you and for me. He has a will for our lives. God saw us as the church before the world began. God knew there would be those who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He so predestined us that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. God knew all about the crucifixion. Peter said in Acts 2:23, according to the determinate counsel of God, you with wicked hands have crucified the Son of God. God has a divine will for our lives. Some of His attributes. Last week we looked at knowing God. Saw God as self-existent. He is before all things and by Him all things consist. He is eternal. Revelation 1:17-19. Jesus said, I am He that is alive and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Eternal. He is self-sufficient. When God has a desire for man, He created the universe and made man of clay. All of that followed, it was God's plan. God knew what man would do. God created man in a state of perfectness, but man had a free will and he chose to sin, disobey God. And it plunged us into death. That's a pretty strict punishment. Because it's God we're dealing with. We think we can do wrong and shouldn't anybody have any problem about it. God has a problem when we do wrong. He has a problem with sin. And God is immutable. He doesn't change. But how He has dealt with man has changed in the seven dispensations of time. He dealt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the day. But once they sinned, He put them out of the garden and He dealt differently with them outside the garden. God didn't change, but the way He's dealt with man has changed. He gave Israel the law. And He dealt with them according to the rules of the law and the commandments and statutes that He gave them. But in the New Testament, grace came along through Jesus Christ. And now God does not deal with us through the law. He deals with us according to grace, according to His Word, according to His Holy Spirit. Through it all, God has been faithful. God is faithful. You pray, and God gives the answer to your prayer and blesses you even beyond what you could ask. You need to look up to heaven and say, "Thou art faithful, O God." Faithful. All His promises are fulfilled. He keeps covenant mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. God has given us all that we need for a life of godliness through knowing Christ as Savior, through having the Word of God, 2 Peter 1:1-4. God's given us salvation through Jesus Christ, who is our living hope. He has given us the inheritance of a future. Songwriter said, the mansions, God has built for me a mansion. That's what people say. That's not what God said. God said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We don't necessarily need a mansion in heaven, but there's a place for you within the mansions of the Father's house. God is a blessed Lord. He has given us all we need, and He will continue to supply all of our needs because we're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. One day we're going to be snatched up to heaven and get a new body, and that's that completion of our salvation when that day happens. We'll see Jesus and we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. God's great love for us motivates all these things. Before we were saved, God loved us. Jesus commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died 2,000 years before we came along, but He'd already made provision for us to be saved by faith in Him. Opportunity for men to be saved is given because God so loved the world. A little verse, John 3:16. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Look at Romans 8:38-39. I love the book of Romans. It's got so much doctrine in it, so much truth. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You love probably the greatest love that we have is to our children. We have just a little bit of godly knowledge of loving our children like God loves us. We are His children. We belong to His family. And He loves us like we would love godly children that we're so proud of, we're so thankful for. They just touch our heart all the time when they do what we tell them to do, when they rejoice in things that we rejoice in. I want to be that kind of child to my Father. 2 Corinthians 5:18, God has reconciled us through Christ because God was in Christ reconciling men unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. People are lost, friends. They need somebody to pray for them. They need somebody to tell them the truth. They need somebody to show them the way of Christ. People are caught up in the things of this world. They think success is what they need. They think religion is what they need. But what they need is the Lord. And if they find Him, they'll have what they need. And Jesus, just 3.5 years of adult ministry, He was a rabbi, a teacher. He revealed in that time period His sovereignty and His power. He revealed He had power over death. He raised a girl. He raised a widow's son. He raised Lazarus, who'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And Christ simply said, "Lazarus, come forth," and raised him from the dead. He had the power over death. He demonstrated power over disease. At least 35 separate miracles, many of them disease and sickness that He healed with a word or a touch. One time He even got mud and spit in His hand and made a little thing of clay and put it on a man's eyes and healed his blindness. He healed 2 blind men at the same time. He healed 10 men with leprosy. They didn't have any way to heal themselves. They didn't have any medicine you could take for leprosy. Jesus simply spoke the word and made them clean. And you know the story. One of them came back and fell down before Him and thanked Him. And He said, "Where's the 9? Anytime God asks a question of us in the word, it's not because He doesn't know the answer. It is for us to see the teaching He's making known by the question that He is asking. A woman touched the hem of His garment and was healed of an issue of blood she had had for 12 years. That's power, my friends. That's not like these faith healers hitting people in the head and throwing crutches in the air and all of that kind of stuff. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and Jesus took her by the hand and she was well. The storm came. The power over creation. Christ simply spoke to the sea and to the waves and they were calm. And even His disciples said, "What manner of man is this that the winds and the sea obey Him?" In Gadara, He faced 2 men that were filled with evil spirits. We call them demons. The word correctly translated is devils. These spirits in these 2 men gave them great strength. Men tried to tie them up and hold them, and they simply broke loose because they had great power. Jesus cast the demons from them and said, "What is your name?" And the demons said, "Legion, for we are many." And He cast them into a herd of swine, and the swine ran down into the ocean and drowned themselves. Jesus had power over them. One of the men with the demons came to Him and fell down before Him and worshiped Him and said, the demon spoke and said, "Are you here to torment us before our time?" They know more than a lot of unsaved people know. They know who Jesus is. They know the judgment day is coming. They know they will be tormented forever and forever in the lake of fire. But Christ had not come to torment them before their time. He came to heal these 2 men. He rebuked the demons from them. And they were naked, living in the tombs, yelling and screaming and cutting themselves with stones and forbidding people to pass and this kind of thing. Wild men. And when Christ expelled the demons from them, they believed on Him as Lord. They were sitting around, clothed, and in their right mind. One of them wanted to follow Jesus. He had appreciation for what Christ had done for him. "Master, let me go with you. Let me be one of your disciples." Jesus said, "Go home and show your friends what God has done for you." Are you doing that, my friend? You're saved. Are you showing your friends what God has done for you? It was getting late when the crowd was following Jesus to hear his teaching, maybe get to see a miracle. They followed him late, far from the city. And the disciples said, we need to send them back. We don't have any food to feed all these people, 5,000 people. And Jesus said, you give them to eat. And he set them down in rows of 50. And a lad had a lunch with a few fish and a few pieces of bread. Just a lunch for the boy, not something to feed a crowd. But Jesus prayed over it and broke it and gave it to them, and they gave it to the people. And 5,000 ate, and then they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that were left over. Wouldn't you like to be able to go to Captain Steve's one night and Jesus come to your table and break the bread and break the fish, and you eat your full and then take home a basket full of the fragments? Jesus said, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites who love long prayers for the attention of men. Pray to your Father in heaven, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. We try to pray theological words and sound important when we pray. We just need to talk to our God like we're talking to our Father. Father, help us today. We're empty without you. Help us today. God is gracious, and in grace he gives us what we do not deserve. God is merciful, and in mercy he does not give us what we do deserve, and that's judgment. God is good, and he's good all the time. He's faithful. He loves us. Let's think about who our God is, and let's try to live for him. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here today. Bless them, I pray. Give them what they need. Help us all to serve you and please you. We pray that you would work in hearts. If there's someone not saved, that they'd come and be saved today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.